Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Metroscope, an Entercom Portland Public Affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield.
Joining us this time on Metroscope is Molly Wooster. Molly is a director of national sponsorship for WGBH Boston, the largest producer of content for PBS, and she's been on the board for Candlelighters for Children with Cancer for 2 years. She is a native Oregonian, a Clackamas High grad, and her career has taken her to various stops, including Seattle, Bellingham, Pennsylvania, and most recently Boston, before coming back to Portland. You said you were in Boston for 15 years or so?
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Loved it. It's my second home. When I fly into Logan, I feel like I should be going to my apartment. It's really odd. I feel like I have two homes.
And definitely. As you were just pointing out, your last name is also the name of a suburb. Well, is it spelled the same?
It is.
Spelled the same,
yep.
Too. Worcester.
Worcester. Yep.
Worcester, Mass.
Yep. And there's a Worcester, England. That'll be my next, I'm just making a journey to all the Worcesters.
You're a globetrotter.
I am.
And you did not adopt a Boston accent, though, I can tell.
You know, it's funny. I did. Oh. It comes out when I've had a couple glasses of wine.
Oh, okay.
But it's very faint. But once I get back there, it slips back in.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So is the accent as thick as, I guess, it appears in movies or media or however?
It really is. It kind of depends on, it's a little, we have like regional dialects. Mm-hmm. So when you look at Southeast, which would be the Wahlbergs, it's very heavy.
Uh-huh.
So it would be, going to the water cooler, it's like, and Worcester for sure. I mean, Worcester, my name is pronounced Worcester. And then on the North End, you have some of the Italian influence, so it's a little different dialect there as well, but pretty much as you see it.
Interesting. And you have some, you have plenty of media background as well.
Yep.
Far more than I have.
Oh, well, it's just because of my age. You'll get it.
So, you're here on behalf of Candlelighters for Children with Cancer. And talk to us a bit about your organization. I was reading, it was founded back in 1977.
Yes.
Just talk to us a bit about the organization and what you guys do.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, Candlelighters for Children with Cancer, as you mentioned, was founded in 1977 by a group of parents who, they would see each other in the halls of the hospitals or other, other areas where people would go when they have a child with cancer. And they banded together and said, there needed to be something in the community to help with these families who have nowhere to go and are oftentimes not ostracized, but isolated because when you have a kid with cancer, people are a little afraid. Maybe they're afraid on some just strange level that their children might catch cancer, or maybe they're afraid that seeing your healthy children would be like a slap in the face. So it really is a very isolating disease. Mm-hmm. And group of parents really put together something great.
So the mission is to provide a community of healing, hope, and light throughout the lifelong journey of childhood cancer. So you guys do that in a variety of ways. You have events that are coming up that people can attend and donate, and we can talk about those events in just a little bit.
Sure.
But I guess just kind of extending on the organization and its values and kind of what you guys do as far as, what's the way to approach that? How do you approach developing the relationships with these families and what you do for them?
Yeah, that's a great question. We're not actively or assertively or aggressively seeking families. What we do is we make sure that there is plenty of information in the hospitals, in doctor's offices, oncologists particularly. And some people find us through when they have the hospital experience. They might find us through one of our hot meals that we serve a couple times a month and go, what's this? And they dive into more. Others might find us through an event like our Christmas party, our annual Christmas event, which, in fact, just recently I've had several people name that event as the one event that brought them into the family. And then what happens, it's very common for them to then find people who, you know, they're there with their peeps. It's their tribe. And, you know, I wish we didn't have to exist, but we definitely do. We're that beacon of light in the muddy waters that is a pediatric cancer diagnosis.
And you guys do a lot of different outstanding events. I'm looking on your website, candlelightersoregon.org, for anyone who wants to check that out. So family activities, emergency financial assistance for medical bills, et cetera, scholarships, a teen program. Yeah, can you just kind of elaborate on the services that you guys provide these families who are in time of need?
Absolutely. And first and foremost, I think one of the biggest benefits is the families finding each other and building that community. Mm-hmm. And they have things that they're going through that nobody else outside the cancer world is. And I find that to be one of the biggest benefits. But with that said, we help nurture that relationship between the families by offering programs and services that are for the whole entire family. And we're the only organization that really takes a look at the whole family, because when you're diagnosed with pediatric cancer, you know, your mom and dad, obviously, you've got siblings, and so much focus is on the child. And we've really taken the approach of this is a family event. Mm-hmm. This is a family crisis. And so through that, we offer monthly events that families can go to free of charge. No charge to our families ever. And, you know, just a couple. We had an Oregon ski out. We've got a fishing expedition. Well, it's not really an expedition, but, you know, a fishing day. And we just have so many programs and services just to get people out of that, even if for a day, out of that cancer world. The biggest example of that is our family camp that happens over Labor Day weekend. And that is really something magical, because, you know, kids are coming together. We have, like, I think it's like 300 families that are able to go. And, you know, you've got kids in various stages of their journey, their cancer journey. So they're there with all of their comrades. And cancer takes a back seat to fun. And that's really important. And then, you know, parents know their kids are safe, so they can then go over and talk about the hard stuff that they're afraid to show in front of their children.
Yeah. So it's incredible. Yeah, I'm looking on the website again, candlelightersoregon.org, excuse me. First and third Wednesday every month, there's a hospital dinner at Dornbecker's Children's Hospital and Randall Children's Hospital. Lunches first Tuesday every month, and a snack cart every Friday at Dornbecker as well.
That snack cart, I have to tell you that, well, full disclosure, I'm a pediatric cancer survivor. So, and I had it at a time when there wasn't this. My parents were ostracized. They were isolated. They didn't have this camaraderie. And when I first volunteered for that snack cart, It was really, I can't even describe my total reaction, because, you know, I was young, kids are resilient. I really didn't think it was different other than going to a lot of doctor's appointments. But when I was taking this, going with the snack cart and visiting rooms for kids who are hospitalized with snacks, or if they're on a special diet, then we would have some plushes that we give them. It hit me like a brick. And I started looking at these young parents and the siblings And I was taken aback at how emotional I got, because I was basically viewing what my family went through so many years ago, but didn't have a connection, didn't have anything that they could turn to help them through it. And so Snack Card is really, really an important service, and people look forward to it. And, you know, when those kiddos are in the hospital, it's just a small part that we can play in helping them through.
So you're a perfect person then to be a part of this organization. Is that kind of how you became involved?
Is it
something that you wanted to take up and be a part of?
Yeah, it is. You know, for years I've been trying to figure out how do I take my role as a pediatric cancer survivor and do something with it. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been focused on career and moving around and everything else. But when I got back to Portland...
The media biz will do that for you.
Right, exactly. when I got back to Portland, I really felt this strong pull to find something now in my home city, my home area, to really find something that I could, you know, sink my teeth in and hopefully make a difference. And so I looked at a couple different organizations. And I came across Candlelighters, and I'm like, this jackpot, this is it. And so I sent my resume to their executive director, Jackie Groh, and it was kind of funny because she emailed me, like I was expecting a month wait or something, and she emailed me directly right back and said, we need you now, you know, come on in. So I volunteered for a year and then was put on the board the following year. And it's made such a difference in my life.
So what exactly do you do? What's your task for the organization?
So as a person on the board, we are always looking at our fiscal health and making sure that we have the funds needed to provide these services. And again, we don't charge families a dime for any of these services. And so with my background in both media and fundraising for nonprofit, that really is where my focus is particularly. Okay. And I have a good friend, good colleague, Corey Connors. He and I really are the ones that go out and try to get that corporate support and corporate sponsorship. Uh-huh. And then just be ambassadors, which isn't hard to do.
Yeah.
Not hard to do. Yeah.
So how do families get involved? You mentioned the events that you guys put on.
Sure.
Do they sign up anywhere? Or how exactly does that whole process work of getting involved?
Yeah, you bet. They can go online, and which again is candlelightersoregon.org. And there's just a bunch of events that they can sign up for. And of course, as I mentioned, many families find us for the first time when they're in the hospitals. They've seen flyers or a social worker may come to them. Well, and actually, when they are admitted, they will find a bedside buddy, and we place these stuffed animals on their beds waiting for them. And so that I just heard a lovely story from a young woman who still has her bedside buddy, even though she's been out. She's been in remission for several years. So, you know, that's something that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so it takes people a little while, because at first you're like, what do? I have a kid with cancer and this is my focus. I have no time for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But once that dust settles of the newness of the diagnosis, then folks do seek us out and have found our events to be invaluable.
Mm-hmm. How prevalent is pediatric cancer?
It's you know, of course, less than adults, but right now today across America, 6 children will die and 42 will receive a new diagnosis. Mm. So it is not going away despite what the national research, Cancer Research Institute thinks. And it's actually on the rise. I attended a great talk at the Knight Center earlier last week.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a really wonderful doctor, but he showed this really alarming increase in incidences coming. So, you know, we're not sure why that is. Is it new diagnoses, new treatment, new ways to diagnose? Were kids being misdiagnosed? I know I was at first. It's really interesting. It's an interesting statistic. It's a horrible statistic.
Yeah.
And we just want to be there to be helpful as much as we can without being intrusive.
Mm-hmm. This is Molly from Candlelighters, Oregon, joining us this time on Metroscope. We'll talk about your events in just a second here. I'm just curious, and maybe listeners are too, as someone who has more knowledge that certainly than I do is in the whole cancer field. There's research being done, of course, all the time, but are we making progress at all? I mean, what do you know about the progress that we are making?
That's a really good question. It's a startling answer. $5.2 billion goes to cancer research overall. Children's pediatrics, to seek new treatments and therapies, we receive just 4% of that. And that is staggering. Mm-hmm. There's actually a big movement out there that 4% is not enough. And we're trying, now as Candlelighters, we don't get into the research and whatnot, and we're not, lobbying or anything. But I do myself personally, I use my voice to try to get some awareness that 4% just simply is not enough, because these kids, to them, cancer is 100%. So, yeah. It's like, it's just startling.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. This sounds really crude, but I don't know if it is a money issue. Like, is the ROI on there for the drug companies? Mm-hmm. I know that kids are still receiving. I had vincristine. It was so long ago, and it is still being used in children's cancer today, and that's startling to me. It has very significant side effects and late effects, and I just have to believe that there is something else out there that these kids can have and take, and with less invasion in their little bodies. Mm-hmm. And I just really, I've just jumped on the 4% high horse, and just want to let everybody know, Congress and the National Cancer Research Institute, they need to know and understand that 4% is not enough. Mm-hmm. With incidences on the rise, we need new treatments and we need new therapies.
And just to clarify, so that 4% number is the amount of money being poured into cancer research, only 4% is being geared towards
pediatric
cancer?
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we've talked about some of the events that you guys have coming up, and also the lunch and the snack cart and all that.
Yeah.
But this Superhero 5K coming up in June 29th at Cook Park in Tigard. There's a run, an obstacle course, and a walk. And it looks like attendees are encouraged to dress up in superhero outfits.
Yep.
Can you talk to us a bit about this event that you guys are putting on this summer?
This is a real fun event. And, we believe that our kids are superheroes. These kids are indeed warriors and superheroes, and that was sort of how we came up with the theme. And we have several vendors on site, and you'll see families in various stages of their cancer journey, and then we have people who are just out there putting a team together to come run and help raise money for Candlelighters. So we definitely need teams. If people want to put a little team together and come out, it's a lot of fun. It's very inspiring. You see these kids, and they're just, in their little Batman suits and whatnot.
Great pictures on the website.
Yeah, it's really... it's just really something fun. And even if you don't have a team, come by and see what we're all about. And, let us talk to you about the various ways that people can help us.
So superhero5kportland.org, superhero5kportland.org is the website. Again, this is Molly from Candle Lighters joining us. You guys serve families in Oregon and Southwest Washington. And I just want to throw this statistic out there so people can understand kind of the gravity and the amount of people who you've served. 85,000 family members since 1977.
Mm-hmm.
85,000. Wow.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, like I said, it would be great to be out of business, but we're not. Mm-hmm. We won't be until, you know, that magical treatment comes where it's eradicated. Mm-hmm. We will always be in needed service, and that's what we're here for.
Would you recommend that people sign up for the 5K on the website?
Yeah,
or is that
absolutely
the best way to do that?
Yeah, that's the best way to do that. Yep, okay. Absolutely.
Superhero5kportland.org.
Yes.
That's the website.
Perfect.
To go. Maybe just to understand the impact that your guys' organization has on people in the community, as we have obviously a big listening audience in Portland and Vancouver. Do you have a story you'd like to share, or do you just have kind of instances that you've seen recurring that you've really enjoyed? And
yeah.
I mean, you had a great story earlier about hanging out at the snack cart and reminiscing to a time that you endured the pediatric cancer as well. But yeah, I mean, what have you seen? How have you seen your guys' organization kind of impact people locally here over the years?
You know, it's absolutely humbling to be at a Christmas party. We throw a really cool Christmas event. And last year I hosted stationed at the crafts table. And to see the kids come in and their siblings too, let's not forget. I mean, I always want to remind that this is a whole family. This is what we're geared for. And we do have services for siblings as well. But to see them come in and just make their crafts, and they're just running around, Santa's there, and parents just, you know, they're just so gracious. They're so, I think they are humbled by what we provide.
It's also got to be a great sense of connection for them too.
It's amazing. Yeah. It really is. It really is. And, you know, there are stories that, you know, some parents are having to make that very difficult decision. Do I pay the lights? Do I get chemotherapy? You know, obviously, you know, which is going to come first, chemotherapy. And we're there to help them with emergency finance funds. We're there to help them with grocery cards and gas cards so that they can get to and from their therapies. And in some cases, we've actually taken people to and from their therapies. So it's really kind of an all-encompassing. As much as the families will let us in, we are there to do basically whatever they need. And you could see the impact.
This is Molly from Candle Lighters joining us this time on Metroscope. Their website, CandleLightersOregon.org. It's a fantastic website. There's a homepage. You can learn about them and the different programs and events they do. You can also learn how to donate. There's a big donate tab, or it's not that big, but a donate tab up there in red.
Yeah.
So you can see it. Talk to us a bit about how you guys are funded as we kind of wrap up here, a couple minutes left, and how people can help out.
Terrific. Thanks. Yes, we are solely funded by members and by corporate sponsors. We do get a few grants, but we are really, it really is a community at large. So there's always room for more members. I think our biggest event, we have two of our biggest fundraising events coming up, the Ride for a Child and our Harvest of Hope, which is in October, and a great golf tournament going on in August. Put a team together and come out and have a great time. So just join us at our fundraising events. Give what you can. Volunteer opportunities. We're always seeking volunteers. So there's many, many ways people can get involved.
Fantastic. And is the next big event June 29th the Superhero 5K?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So out at Cook Park in Tigard. And again, you can check out the website, CandleLightersOregon.org, to learn more about that event and register. And well, thank you so much for coming in and well done. It was fun chatting with you.
Thank you. You too. Yeah. I appreciate you giving us some spotlight on this.
Absolutely. Good luck with everything. And thanks for what you guys do. And well, hopefully there'll be some good superhero costumes out there.
There will be.
We were talking today with Molly Wooster, who is on the board for the Candlelighters for Children with Cancer here in Oregon and Southwest Washington. Metroscope is an Entercom Portland public affairs program. I'm Preston Highfield. If you're involved with a nonprofit or public affairs organization, or if you have an idea for an upcoming show, I'd like to hear from you. Visit metroscopepdx.com and submit your ideas. You can also go to this station's website and submit your information there. Thanks for listening to Metroscope and enjoy the rest of your weekend.